Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com. /Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Once again, a very happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas.
Yes.
They coincide this year, roughly.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's an overlap.
Yeah.
Layla, what's our next question, please?
Our next question comes from Nicole. Nicole says, my son is 5 years old. He has asthma. He has tree nut allergy, rashes, eczema, and now food intolerances to dairy, wheat, and egg. And on top of this, the most recent problem is bedwetting almost nightly. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do research, trying vitamin supplements, you know, a food is medicine approach. Is there any more guidance
that
you can provide?
This is a complicated case, but it's not unheard of,
this
constellation of symptoms.
Yeah.
The child is allergic.
Yeah.
It's very hooked up to enuresis, bedwetting. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say anything about the type of diet he's on, but a kind of a quick fix for bedwetting in allergic kids is get them off of dairy entirely. Mm. Get them completely off of dairy.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that's always going to work, but it can make a big difference. This is a child who's complicated and needs to see an integrated physician who specializes in working with kids.
Right.
If you email me privately, I can, send you some suggestions of people who, they're few and far between.
Yeah, but she's in Cleveland.
She's in Cleveland, okay. Well, it might be worth a trip to my region. I don't mm-hmm. know that many people out there in Ohio who do this work.
Yeah.
Cleveland Clinic has an integrative medicine department now,
mm-hmm.
and that might be worth a try.
Right.
I don't know if they have really expert integrative pediatricians there,
mm-hmm.
Because this is not, really simple.
I think that's a good first stop, though,
Cleveland
Clinic.
Yeah, because, what are some of the considerations with a kid like that? By the way, I don't treat children anymore.
Yeah.
Early in my career, I treated all and sundry.
Yeah.
But now I cut it off to, I treat some adolescents,
mm-hmm.
especially ones with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's mm-hmm. disease. But you're not
treating very young children.
Fatigue problems, but usually I want the patient to, be older.
Be older,
my training
be discerning,
is in internal medicine. Yeah.
Right, right. But what's interesting is Nicole's son, all the top 8 food allergens are there. Tree nuts,
mm-hmm.
Dairy, wheat. Eggs, they mm-hmm. are all there. So that's all
I place a lot of emphasis on the gut.
Yes.
And the possibility that there's what's called a leaky gut syndrome.
Yeah, because he has asthma and eczema.
Well, there you go.
So that can cause all of these food intolerances.
I would use essential fatty acids to kind of slow the allergic cascade, both omega-3s, EPA and DHA,
mm-hmm.
but also probably borage oil would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, probiotics might figure into this, but some of these kids are sensitive to probiotics. Absolutely check and
you don't
restore
want a
vitamin D.
Probiotic, right?
D would be important to check and evaluate.
Yeah.
This is a kid who might have histamine intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Where high levels of histamine cause a myriad of allergic symptoms.
Yeah.
And turning down the volume on that would be good.
Right, right.
Sometimes they have inadequate genetic SNPs that predispose them to low levels of DAO, diamine oxidase. They're products that actually
can be taken orally that yes. give you the diamine oxidase that your body's not making, mm-hmm. that break down excess histamine. Mm-hmm. B vitamins are often helpful because these people have methylation problems.
Yeah.
I'm making it sound complicated, but I got to go through all the different ramifications
exactly.
of this.
Exactly. And Nicole, this is it's not something to embark on yourself and just take this advice off this podcast and start giving your son all of these things. He needs a real workout.
Yeah, it's not a DIY thing. It's kind of like... It's kind of like, you know, if you had, you know, like if your child broke his arm, fell out of a tree or something, it's like, right. look it up on the internet, you know, no.
No, don't watch a YouTube about how to right. put a splint on your child's arm.
You could, you know, you might get lucky.
Don't do that.
You might get lucky.
Go to the ER. Right. Know, that's a better idea. Oh, my goodness.
But there are people who deal with this, and it's sort of their bread and butter is. And, and by the way, the good news is that this kind of case resonates. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fairly typical kind of situation. It's not like
not uncommon.
It's not like
right.
oh my god, I never heard of that. It's like that's
no.
so weird. It's,
nope.
No.
No. No. A lot of things kind of
come
are consistent
together.
With the intolerances, the particular symptoms, the asthma, the eczema. All of these things line up.
And that can be substantially straightened out. It might be that this kid has. A predisposition. By the way, this is an age where kids are not immunologically robust.
Yeah.
And the good news is that in a few years, you know, before you know it, the kid's going to go through puberty.
Yeah.
And if these problems are alleviated and handled in childhood, you can actually move towards a more robust immune system in adulthood and mm-hmm. towards normalcy. I remember, you know, one kid in particular that I treated that sounds a lot like this. And he was actually referred by a family member of mine who said, yeah, I mean, I used to have the locker next to him in junior high school, but he was never there. His name was alphabetically like right adjacent, but he was absent all the time. And I treated him you know, early on in my career, even with less of the tools that I now have available to me, you know, mm-hmm. with diet and certain supplements. And he followed it to a letter, and you know, now he's married with children. He's a successful stockbroker, you know, financial mogul.
See,
and you know, and he's doing pretty well. But he's got he's got to watch what he eats.
He's got to watch what he eats. Yeah. You know, and after time, and when you're an adult, and you know the consequences, it becomes really a small price to pay to have to change your diet in order to be well. Because what else do you want to be except well?
Yeah.
So. Oh, Nicole, wow. Yeah, my
and kids, you know, as restrictive as these diets are, these kids will sign on because they recognize when they don't feel well, and they can be quite motivated.
Yes.
Even, you know, going to the birthday parties and everybody else is having other stuff, and it's like, you know, it's not in my interest to have this stuff. I know I'll get sick, and, you know, I want to be well. I'd rather go out and play.
I'll have a rash if
and,
I eat this
and not miss
peanut.
School and, you know, not be going to the doctor all the time. If I have to eat this crazy restricted diet, I'll do it.
Yeah. And take,
you know, supplements up the wazoo.
Right. Nicole, we would encourage you to start, take a look at the Cleveland Clinic first.
Yeah, that's a good start point, you know, because they are at least paying lip service to that.
Right.
At this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening, and our sponsors never even take a holiday off to remind you of the excellence of products that they purvey, and we thank you for supporting them because they're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, and that will continue in the upcoming year in 2020.
Okay. We have an email from Anne. Dear Dr. Hoffman, would you please tell me what you think of the HCG diet? Do you consider it safe, advisable, or don't even think about it? A local MD offered it to me as a quick weight loss option. I'm 59 years old, postmenopausal, I'm 5 feet tall and I currently weigh 195. Mm-hmm. My weight has been on a roller coaster since my early teens, and I've tried so many diet plans, I've lost count.
That's part of the problem.
That is part of the problem. Yo-yo all your life.
Yeah, dieting. Yeah. Sets the stage for a real metabolic slowdown. Yeah.
I've read there could be some scary side effects from HCG, like blood clots, pulmonary embolism. Is there a way to monitor that during the course of the 4 to 6 weeks to avoid complications?
Well, first of all, what is it? You're aware of what it is. Yeah. You did a little research on it.
The HCG diet.
And some of my colleagues had offered it. It was sort of popular a few years back.
And I would say five years back.
Yeah. And I think it's waned in popularity, partly because the FDA has cracked down on the use of a medication, a prescription medication for not its purpose. I mean, HCG is a fertility drug.
Yeah.
It's sometimes used to enhance, male sperm production and testosterone.
Mm-hmm. And fertility in women.
When it was all happening, I was interested and I said, this is something interesting. Maybe it works. And then I read studies, and one particular study, I think it was in the New England Journal of Medicine, that evaluated it, because this has been around for a long time, since the 1950s. And that study showed that there was absolutely no benefit. However, the diet that it's hooked up to does make you lose weight.
Well, you know why, Dr. Hoffman? For 4 to 6 weeks, you're on a 500 calorie a day diet. That is not sustainable.
But you will lose weight.
You'll be starving and crabby and irritable.
Yeah.
And right after that 6 weeks is up.
And you may get gallstones and you may lose muscle.
Exactly, because it's very low in fat.
Yeah.
So you're not going to use much bile if there isn't much fat,
which causes stasis in your gallbladder.
Yeah, and then the bile crystallizes, causes gallstones.
Right.
That's what that's about.
Right. I think it's more about the 500 calorie diet.
Yeah.
And
they added an expensive hormone attachment.
Which is sort of an expensive placebo, in my opinion.
Yeah. Because everybody's going to lose weight on a 500 calorie diet.
I don't think it would be as popular if they said, "Hey, there's this amazing diet. It's called the 500 calorie diet."
Yeah.
But if you say it's the HCG diet, where you get this magic injection that makes it so you lose complete interest in food while you do this. And people do report, by the way, that when they're on this, they say, it's amazing. Like after a few days, I really wasn't hungry anymore. I just, it's like that.
Well, some people have reported nausea because it tricks the body into thinking it's pregnant.
There
can be some nausea there.
I'm not even sure that that is how it works.
For women anyway.
Nobody knows how really it does work. There's no real clear-cut mechanism about why it should work.
Yeah. In the men that they've used it on, they found a side effect of weight loss. So they started administering it for that reason, too, to see where that went. And because of your whole life history of up and down yo-yo dieting, this is just another after 6 weeks, you're going to be done and gain the weight back and then some, unfortunately, because you downshift your metabolism.
Yeah.
When you choose to eat so few calories on a daily basis.
Remember
Mother Nature thinks there's no food around.
Yeah. Remember the definition of insanity is to try the, same thing again.
Expect a different result.
Expect a different outcome.
Yeah.
But this is a dilemma. I mean, this is a person who is 5 feet and 190 pounds.
Yeah.
And, what reasonable option does she have? It's very hard. I mean, I will admit it's not easy. Yeah. Some people are really stuck metabolically.
Right.
And I'm not, I do not bill myself as a doctor who does magical weight loss for people. I don't like to do weight loss because people come with unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it isn't easy.
Yeah. So, and the promise of this diet is that, yes, you will lose weight, but you won't maintain it.
Right.
And that will be the
It's like the
story
biggest
over
loser
over.
Phenomenon, where they actually studied the people who'd been on the TV show. Mm-hmm. And they lost enormous amounts of weight, but all of them, I think all of them except one gained it back and more. And now they're on very low-calorie diets, and they're unable to lose weight because they've really messed up their metabolism.
They've downshifted.
One exception is, and I'm going to interview her in 2020, is a gal who was quite overweight, well over 300 pounds. And she decided to become a triathlete.
Mm.
And she is a triathlete I think she's in her 50s.
Fabulous.
And she wins events But her training is extremely rigorous, and she's lost over 100 pounds. We'll talk about her story in 2020.
That's great.
That is a very unusual case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what it speaks to is the benefits of exercise with a reasonable diet. But
of course,
dieting alone,
exercise
alone won't do it.
That's true. But when you're when you have a very rigorous workout, being a triathlete, you can certainly eat some more food. And I would also be interested to know, if your weight has been on a roller coaster, as you described, since your early teens, what else is going on here? Do you have some kind of medical issue that is making you metabolically resistant to weight loss?
Or a genetic issue.
There
There are some people who have very high obesity genes. There's not one, mm-hmm. but they, you know, if you have like a whole series of them together, it predisposes to weight gain.
Right.
I mean, look, we know this is the case. There are mice mm-hmm. That you can, or rats you can buy. They're called Zucker rats, which are predisposed to diabetes and obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like because they have the wrong lifestyle.
Right.
They just are genetically bred so
exactly.
that we can study obesity and metabolic syndrome.
Yeah.
There are some people who, unfortunately, are very highly predisposed. And what we do with them mm-hmm. is they may not attain ideal body weight, but we try to keep them healthy overweight. In other words, they can be, you know, say you've got a gentleman who's like 5'8 and he's like, 200 pounds. That's not optimal in terms of like if he wants to be a swimsuit model.
Unless he's an NFL lineman.
But if his... But if his hemoglobin A1C is 5.3, you know, and he has
low triglycerides
and a good lipid panel,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to be physically active, it can work.
Yes,
it just he may not be ideally svelte.
Right.
And now we're going to talk. You know, now you're going to say, well, what about gastric bypass? We got another question.
We do. Yeah.
No, because some people are saying, well, why don't you just get a gastric bypass?
That will actually be our next question. And some things that you should also check out. If you are metabolically resistant to weight loss, there are medications that can slow down your weight loss. There are conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS.
Yes.
Hypothyroidism. If I was a gambler, Dr. Hoffman, given her history of yo-yo dieting, I would bet there's at least a little bit of hypothyroidism.
Because the thyroid slows down
to
adjust to starvation.
Exactly. Yeah. And just going on this 500 calorie a day diet, Anne, for 4 to 6 weeks is not in your best interest. That is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
given this much that I know about you.
So don't hold back, Layla.
Yeah. I can't help it. No. I hate to see yet another fad-ish diet that's not going to be beneficial over the long term. And thank you for that question.
It's a quick fix mentality.
Yeah. And our other question actually comes from Erin.
Are we supposed to say her name?
Yeah. No, this is not her name.
Okay, fine.
This is a name she suggested we use instead.
Okay.
So Erin wrote in saying that she's had PCOS since age 17 and has been, her weight has reached and awesome 320 pounds.
Uh-huh.
So that's something. So after seeing a weight loss surgeon for a consult, Erin was convinced that having the vertical sleeve gastrectomy would cure my PCO symptoms and I would have a tool to keep the weight off for life. So, and I had the vertical sleeve gastrectomy 4 months later, and in 1 year, she lost 150 pounds.
Ooh.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
She also worked out 3 to 5 days a week,
right.
weightlifting, water aerobics,
right.
all of that kind of thing.
Life transforming.
Yeah, life transforming. This is wonderful. Well, Erin found out recently from her doctor that a test revealed she has 20% non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. She's not on medications, and she has become morbidly obese again.
Right. So,
which can happen after bariatric surgery.
Just say that this is one form of bariatric surgery. There's other forms of more radical bariatric surgery.
Bypass.
This may be to some extent, a statement about the nature of the surgery that she had, which is not definitive.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for a while, and then somehow her body adjusted, or her stomach capacity adjusted to enable her to consume mm-hmm. more food. But you know what I will say is that We do have some patients who've had gastric bypass.
Yes.
It's very, very problematic.
Yes.
People have a lot of nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah.
And also, they can bypass the bypass.
Mm-hmm.
You can circumvent the limiting capacity of your stomach.
Yeah.
And
it will compensate.
But if you eat the wrong stuff, you know, mm-hmm. you're gonna defeat it.
Yeah.
And so the people who are successful, they use it as a life transformation event.
Mm-hmm.
They exercise. They really watch their diet. They have to take a lot of vitamins because.
Yes.
There's a lot of nutritional deficiencies associated with this.
Because you can't eat a whole lot of food. Your stomach won't hold that much anymore. It's almost the equivalent of that 500-calorie diet.
But you actually create malabsorption. And there are certain sites which are essential for absorption of certain critical nutrients. So you have to watch very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
These are patients who you have to test frequently for nutrient deficiencies.
Yes.
And they may require oral vitamins, even injections of vitamins, to be healthy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think one of the problems with the gastric bypass is that it's like, you know, it's like a drive-in, it's like go for the surgery, and if the aftercare isn't good and the follow-up isn't good, you can regress and you can have problems.
True.
Fatty liver suggests to me too much in the way of carbohydrate intake.
Yes,
what you could also develop is a kind of a dysbiosis because...
Mm-hmm.
It's thought that some of the benefits of gastric bypass relate to the change in intestinal composition.
Yes.
That has to be addressed. She's a person who needs to be studied, you know.
Right, right. And after pretty much a lifetime of being on birth control pills, which was the panacea for PCOS.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. And
that depletes nutrients, yeah.
Depletes nutrients. Face breaks out. Dramatic hair thinning. Minor depression. See, I'm also thinking thyroid there when she talks about some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, Erin, she's asking about, you know, she says, I wonder if a low-carb diet with intermittent fasting are sustainable long-term.
Yes.
Because yo-yo dieting has not paid off so far.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You need to be.
And being consistent.
Yeah. You have to be consistent.
And also can't look for those spectacular results. You have to psychologically adjust to like, hey, you know, I've been on this for 3 months. I lost, you know, 8 pounds. Like. You know, it's like,
which would be phenomenal for somebody.
But if you do that consistently year in and year out, you're going to get to where you need to go to.
Right. So you know, PCOS, which you've had all of your life, the antidote is a lower carb diet because there is insulin resistance associated with PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, they'll say, which came first, the PCOS or the insulin resistance? Oftentimes, it's the insulin resistance that happens first
mm-hmm.
that causes then mm-hmm. this derangement of ovarian cysts and so forth and all the other symptoms that go with that.
So, I mean, it's just like...
You would benefit from a consult, Erin, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you would need support on this kind of an eating plan,
mm-hmm.
along with supplements to help her out.
Yeah.
Or to even give her thyroid a boost.
Yep.
Wow.
Protect her liver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Protect her liver. That would also take care of the fatty liver, the weight loss
mm-hmm.
itself,
yeah.
because your triglycerides would come down
yep.
on a low-carb diet and the intermittent fasting.
Do we have time for one more?
We have...
Christmas bonus.
Let's see. Christmas bonus we have from Carolyn. I recently had a blood test for Alzheimer's disease. My results indicated...
I'm not familiar with that.
Right.
You know, but experimentally, there are some blood tests. I'm not sure, but what
yeah,
she's talking about.
Exactly, and I'm not sure that she tells us here. My results indicated I'm out of range and that I currently have dementia or it's headed my way. Where do I go from here? Apparently, this blood test has an accuracy rate of 80%.
Well, what is it? Did she say something about ApoE4?
No, she does. She says, I'm at a loss as to where to turn. I am ApoE4/4.
Okay, so that's the double hit that highly predisposes to Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that is that it is deterministic, but not inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And you can modify your risk. These are people who have to be exceedingly careful and very proactive.
Yes.
And it's good that she got the heads up about this
mm-hmm.
early on before she, became impaired.
Yeah.
But this is the essence of Dr. Bredesen's book, The End of Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
where he took people who were ApoE4 and put them on very specific regimens, and these are personalized, not,
yes.
you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all thing.
Right.
With certain brain-supportive nutrients, a diet, adequate sleep, exercise is very important for protecting the brain,
mm-hmm.
and you can overcome that. Now,
yeah.
this is one of the downsides of this prediction is, you know, I have a precept which I learned in medical school. It's like, why test if you can't do anything about it? And I guess what you can do is like, well, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. Well, plan for long-term care, you know, write your will, you know, you have an advanced directive, you know, all these
right.
things that people do logistically when they're diagnosed with a potentially fatal disease or a disabling disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the, you know, social and logistic side. But from the medical side, there ain't nothing that is available from conventional medicine. Yes, there's Aricept, and it does works
it
for a
work.
While. You know, and it doesn't do much.
Yeah.
So, but it's it. We hope for advances in Alzheimer's, but at the present time, the only plausible approach for somebody like this is these a very aggressive lifestyle modification program.
Yeah.
So I would check with, you know, look up Dale Bredesen.
Right, right.
You know, work
She's also been using Dr. Perlmutter's recipes in the Grain Brain Cookbook and all of that.
Yeah, that's all good.
It's all great. That would be the route to go. Carolyn asks another question. Why get a PET scan if it only differentiates between Alzheimer's disease and other forms
Well,
of
that's
dementia?
That's actually the neurologist's dilemma because they're really good at diagnosing. They don't have a lot of tools to treat.
Mm-hmm. Diagnose and adios.
Yeah,
as Dr. Perlmutter said,
diagnose
and adios.
Yeah, which unfortunately, I mean, you want to know, but if you are diagnosed with a progressive debilitating neurological disorder, does it matter? Do you need that?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sort of a personal decision. It's not going to materially affect the way that it's treated. I mean, you may want to stage it. You may want to say, you know, like, but I mean, we recently went through this with a relative who has really severe memory problems. And, you know, we were going to send her for a scan, but then we decided, like, why bother her with a scan? We know that she's not performing well on memory tests and cognitive tests. I mean, she has a form of dementia. If we want to slice and dice, is it this form or that form or, you know, vascular dementia versus Alzheimer's? It's more about, we want to keep her safe and supported. We want to make provisions for her care.
Yeah.
You know, she's already well, you know, she's in her 90s, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm giving her enormous numbers of supplements, and she's sort of holding her own, you know.
Terrific. Carolyn, we wish you the best. So, all right. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Oh, that will be the following.
And
week.
All things good to you and your families in the coming year.
The best of health.
Thanks for joining us in 2019. We'll be back in 2020 with more of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.